Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, yesterday we started a three-part series from Camp Arrowwood, and it's the three questions. I hope you're enjoying it. If you missed yesterday, you can go back and pick it up on the web.
If you would open your Bibles to Matthew 7, if you have a Bible with you. If you don't have a Bible with you, I'm going to read it to you. It's a short passage. It's in your devotional book, and that is from Matthew chapter 7. Jesus is speaking, and this is God's word. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Well, who do you think you are? We talked yesterday about that question that I did not like hearing because it meant that I was behaving as if I had an unrealistic view of myself. Maybe I thought I was a little more special than I should. The Bible tells us in Romans 12, we ought not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. Do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought to think. It's possible to have such a high opinion of yourself, you think the whole world revolves around you. Everything's for me. I ought to be able to have my way. Whatever I want, that's the way it ought to be. Anybody who gets in my way, they're the problem. And that's just not the way it is. You and I are not the center of the universe. And if we're going to really know the truth about ourselves, we need to see ourselves in relationship to God. Do you know him? Are you his? It's not just who am I, it's whose am I? Who do I belong to? When you come to know Jesus, you have a relationship that will never end. When you put your trust in him, you cannot lose eternal life. He gives you a new life and you will spend forever with him. And that brings us to the second question. Sometimes I would be headed out to go do something that I had planned, and I'd hear my father say, "Where do you think you're going?" Well, I couldn't just tell him and keep walking. If he said, "Where do you think you're going?" that meant I needed to stop in my tracks and find out what he was going to tell me I needed to do before I could go. Did you make your bed? I thought I would do that later. You go make your bed. Yes, sir. I'd go and I'd make my bed. Is there anything else, sir? Do you know in my family, if you wanted to disagree with your parents, the first phrase you had to use was, "I beg your pardon." You started out with an apology for disagreeing. "Oh, Pastor Wood, I'm so sorry you had such a difficult life." It was a great life, okay? Because I learned that I'm not in charge. Who do you think you are? Well, clearly not the boss of this house at age 6. Clearly not the boss of this house at age 9. Clearly not the boss of this house at age 18. Well, when did you get to be the boss of the house? When I had my own house. Understand? Who do you think you are? Where do you think you're going? Who we are is ultimately defined by our relationship with God. You are either a child of the light or you're a child of darkness. You're either a child of God or you're still part of the kingdom of Satan. Those are the only two alternatives. Well, likewise, when it comes to the question of where do you think you're going? When I was in high school, I was looking for ways to start a conversation with my friends about God and eternity. And so I would often ask kids, so what are you planning on doing after high school? And some of them would say, I'm getting a job over here, or I'm planning on joining the military, or some of them would say, I'm going to college. I'd say, great, great. And then what do you plan on doing? Well, I mean, I guess probably marry, have kids, you know. Okay. Great, great. And then what? Well, I mean, I'll work and raise a family and then I guess I'll retire. Great, and then what? Well, I don't know, man. I mean, what? Well, I mean, just thinking ahead, what do you think you're going to do? Well, I'll probably, if I can afford it, have a boat and go fish and, you know, enjoy retirement. And then what? Well, I'll die. Exactly. And then what? And you say, well, that's kind of a clumsy way to talk to other teenagers. Yeah, that's probably why they called me Preach in high school. That was my nickname. Not Studley. Not Handsome. Preach. But you know what? It was my joy over the years that followed high school to have some of the kids who gave me the worst time, who made fun of me, look me up and say, I want you to know that when I got away to college, God saved me. And I realized that He used you to help get me ready to hear the gospel. It was a joy to hear from people who initially were not real responsive, but God was still at work and God was drawing them. Now let me tell you something. All of us are on a journey. All of us are headed somewhere. All of us eventually are going to have to stand before God. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. You say, well, I'm just going to not do that. You don't have a choice. Okay? Let's say you just decided, I don't like this anymore. I'm not going to take another breath. Eventually, you have to. You don't have a choice. So it's not true. I can hold my nose. You know what will happen when you pass out? You start breathing. All of us are on a journey. But the problem is there are only two roads. There are only two roads. You are either on a journey toward eternal destruction, separated from God forever, experiencing what we all deserve for our sin. Or you are on your way to the Father's house to be with the one who loves you forever. Romans 8, it says, nothing, neither life nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nothing at all, sickness, persecution, nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's good news. You say, well, I don't think I deserve to go to heaven. Well, you got that right. None of us deserves to go to heaven. The only person who ever lived a sinless life is Jesus. The rest of us have all messed up. All of us have sinned against God. We've all done things we shouldn't have done, and we have failed to do things that we know we should have done. We've all messed up. But God isn't standing there just furious, waiting to smite us. The Bible says God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son so that whoever believes in Him will not perish but will have everlasting life. For God didn't send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but so that through Him the world might be saved. You and I can be saved because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. He took the punishment we deserve so that we could know Him. Years ago, I was working as a volunteer at a reform school, juvie, if you want to call it that, in North Carolina. And one of the boys asked me, what does it mean Jesus died for our sins? And so I tried to explain it to him from the scriptures. He was not getting it. And I said, well, let me try and explain it another way. And I tried another way. He wasn't getting it. I was like, now do you understand? No, I don't. And I said, okay, just a minute. And I prayed and I just asked the Lord to show me a way of explaining to this kid what it means that Jesus died for our sins. And some thoughts popped into my head, turned out to be from God. And I said, okay, let's suppose that you and a couple of your friends sneaked out of your houses at like, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning, and you went down to the local middle school and climbed up on the roof and broke in through a skylight and did some vandalism in there that was like over $300 worth of damage, which back then was the threshold. And his mouth dropped open. He said, you've been reading my file. And I said, what do you mean? He said, that's why I'm in here. I said, man, I've never seen your file. He said, the reason I'm in here is because me and two of my friends sneaked out of our houses at 2 o'clock in the morning, and we went down to the local middle school, and we went up on the roof, and we broke in through a skylight, and we did over $300 worth of vandalism. Well, at this point, I had his attention. Because, see, I didn't know that about him, but you know who did? God! Just like he knows everything about you. Everything. Everything. Stuff your friends don't know. Stuff your parents don't know. He knows everything about you. And the amazing thing is he loves you. He loves you. And so I told that boy, imagine if when you were brought before the judge decided that you are guilty, but he's going to take the punishment. That's what it means when we say Jesus died for our sins. We are the ones who were guilty. We are the ones who deserve to be punished. God became one of us so that he could take the punishment we deserve. He did it because he loves you. No matter what anybody else has said about you, no matter what other people may make you think about yourself or the thoughts inside your head that say you're not worth anything, your life doesn't matter, it's all lies from the enemy who wants to keep you in his camp. He wants to keep you believing the lies that your life doesn't matter. God says you matter to him. God cares about you. He loves you. He gave his life for you so that you could be completely forgiven, not kind of forgiven or partly forgiven, completely forgiven. He loves you. But unless you believe him, trust him, receive that gift, you are continuing on the road that most people are on. Jesus said, most people are on the broad road that leads to destruction. Most people. The road that leads to life is narrow, and few people find it. What is the road that leads to life? I'm so glad you asked. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There isn't an alternative path. There's not some other way to be saved. Jesus gave his life because nobody else could do that for us. I can't offer my life as a sacrifice to God in order to save my family. You know why? I deserve to die. Oh, Pastor Wood, I don't think so. You seem like a little bit daffy, but still a nice man. Let me tell you something. We've all sinned. Yeah, but I mean, is that really a big deal? If we've all done it, then it's not such a big deal, is it? Okay, time for my annual vomit illustration. Let's suppose Miss Corey, back in the kitchen, is making chili. Does anybody here like chili? All right. So Miss Corey's back there. She's making chili, but she starts to feel a little unsettled in her stomach. But she's on a schedule. She's got responsibilities. She's got to make sure that you guys get fed. So she just keeps stirring and stirring. And as she looks at those beans and she looks at that ground beef, she starts to really feel, ah! And she throws up into the chili. Now, Miss Corey's stomach, the organ, is not any larger than this, even when it's full of food, okay? And that pot, I mean, that pot is big. So there's not nearly as much vomit in there as there is beans and ground beef and so forth. So couldn't we just add some more tomato sauce and make sure it reaches a high enough temp and keep on stirring and then serve that to you guys? You'd be okay with that, wouldn't you? No? You would not want to eat chili that someone had thrown up in?
No.
I'm glad, because I'd be really worried about you if you said, yeah, no problem. I wouldn't want to be in the cabin with you. Okay? No, of course we would not want to eat something that has throw up in it. We can't fix it by adding more ingredients. Oregano. Okay? Maybe if we put in some chopped onions and garlic and other things, it'll cover the vomit smell. No! No! It's spoiled, it's ruined, it's no good. Miss Corey would never do that to you or anybody else, because Miss Corey's not crazy and wicked, okay? But people do that all the time with God. Having sinned against God, we think we're going to fix it by adding some other ingredients. I'm going to do some good things. I'm going to do something to make up for it. I'm going to make it okay. You can't. I can't. I can't offer my life as a sacrifice for you because I already blew it. You can't offer your life as a sacrifice for somebody else because you already blew it. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've already thrown up in the soup. So what do we need? We need someone who is perfect, Jesus, to take our place. And that's what he did. That's what he did. He died for us. He took our punishment. And now, because of what he did, if we trust in him, we are on the road to heaven. Well, How do I do that? Well, the Bible uses a word called repent. Okay? What does it mean to repent? It means a change of mind that results in a change of direction. You can't keep going the way you've been going and say, okay, I'm sorry, I shouldn't be doing this, but yeah, I don't know how to change. It takes a radical change. You got to turn around. Well, how do I turn around? Put your trust in Jesus. Ask him to save you. Don't try and save yourself. You can't do it. You can't do it. Won't work. Well, I'm going to try really hard. Won't work. So what do? Ask him to save you. Ask him to save you. He's the only one who can. And he will. Because he loves you. You say, well, I'm not feeling it. You can't go by feelings. You can't base your life on how you feel. Because, you know, sometimes you're going to feel really great, really optimistic. And then circumstances are going to happen that knock the wind out of you. Anybody ever have the wind knocked out of them? Yeah, see? Okay, me too. It's a terrible feeling, isn't it? I remember I was in elementary school. I was riding my bicycle. And the front of it was messed up. But I didn't know how badly it was messed up. And I was going out through my front yard. We had a big yard. I was going out through my front yard, and all of a sudden, the front fork went like this, and I went over the handlebars, which would have been awkward, but it was even worse because I had a basket on the front of my bike for carrying things like newspapers. If you have a paper route. So, you know, it was one of those wire metal baskets. And that's what caught my face. Okay. So I go like this. I land face first in a metal basket. And then my whole body, the rest of me, continues airborne. And I land on the ground with the print of a wire basket on my face and trying to figure out what happened. Because it was very quick. Okay. I was moving on that bike. That was a terrible thing. And for a few moments, I was like, it's bad when you get the wind knocked out. Now, if you asked me 5 minutes before, hey, how you doing? I would have said, great, man, I'm having a great day. But all of a sudden, after I flipped and smashed my face and got the wind knocked out of me, if you'd said, hey, how's it going? I would have said, not so great. If you try and live your life based on how you're feeling, your life's going to be a disaster. But if you base your life on the promises of God, if you trust Him, then you have eternal life. You have eternal life. Not just you will have it. You have it. And you are already on a journey that is going to last forever, and it's going to be wonderful because you're going to be with the one who made you with a purpose and a plan. So I want to ask you, where do you think you're going? You think you're going to heaven? Jesus says in this same passage, there are going to be a lot of people surprised that they're not going. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this and do this and do this and do this? And he says, and I'll say to them, depart from me, I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness. Well, what was their problem? Well, they sinned. Yeah, but they did all this other stuff that was really good. It was really good. That's adding good ingredients to a pot that has vomit in it. No good. They were trusting in what they had done in order to save them. Where's your trust? Where do you think you're going? Are you trusting Jesus? Or are you still trying to save yourself? I pray that you will trust Jesus. He's the only one who saves. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, you know everything about each of us. There's nothing hidden from you. And we thank you so much that knowing everything as you do, you love us. You do not despise your creation. You came to save all who trust in you. Help us to believe the good news. Help us to repent and believe the good news. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number. 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's
It's pastorwood.org.